Well, we'll start off this video like we've done the others. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, as you can see, I'm not broadcasting from the church, not yet. We're still in the middle of this coronavirus pandemic, and so we're still following the guidelines that's been established by our president, by the local government. But that doesn't mean that we can't still minister, we can't still worship, we can't still fellowship. I thank God for the technology that we have today, that many churches are live streaming their services. Now, we're not doing that yet. We may get to doing that. I've been studying some of that. But thank God we can do these YouTube videos like this. And not only our local congregation here in Tulsa can watch, but people around the world. We're getting great reports from all over, from people. The videos are helping them. So I've been praying, asking the Lord, what do you want to say? It's really no different than when I would get ready for a service that we were doing at the church. Lord, what do you want to say? What do you want to do? What do you want to say to your people? These are your sheep. I'm just the lips. I'm just the mouth for him to say what he wants to say to you. And of course, I keep hearing, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And in particularly, it was coming to my mind the story of Joseph from the Old Testament. You probably heard that story the first time as a child in Sunday school, at least if you're like me, Like I tell everybody, I had a drug habit when I was a little kid. You did? Yeah. I got drugged to church Sunday morning. I got drugged to church Sunday night. I got drugged to church Wednesday night. So I remember the story of Joseph and the coat of many colors. And there's so many things to learn from his life. What an amazing life he had. But, there's a sentence in there when he talks to his brothers. He says, you meant to do me harm. You thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. And when you really think about that story, Joseph suffered many things. He went through, from the time that he had the vision, I studied this out years ago, from the time that he studied the vision, where he would wind up being the one to provide for his family, let me just put it that way. From the time he had that vision till the time it actually happened, it's 22 years. That's a while to hold on to a vision. We've been holding on to a vision for revival around here for a long time. Just because it's been 20 some odd years does not mean it's not coming to pass. But I thought about that story of Joseph. And when he said that to his brothers, he said, God intended to save many people alive. And in Joseph's day, there was a great famine coming. 7 years of famine. That's a long time. We feel like we're just suffering here because we've been basically cooped up in our houses for a few weeks, it might be a few months, 7 years, and God intended to save many people alive. And now God didn't do to Joseph. It was the brothers thought evil against him. But see, you can't get ahead of God. You can't outsmart God. God is God. He'll take, I don't care what thing, and those brothers, our battle is not with flesh and blood. Those brothers are a type of the enemy, always plotting against you, trying to do bad things, God will take anything and turn it for good if we learn how to let him. Well, the end result, God knew the famine was coming. God made preparation through Joseph, through dreams and interpretation of dreams and understanding and wisdom that Joseph had. And the end result, many people were saved alive. Well, praise God. Coming into the end times, Jesus talked about pestilences that would come. And I've been doing some research on the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918. Of course, that was even before my dad was born. But it was bad. They say up to a third of the earth's population was killed worldwide by that pandemic. And it was terrible. And what's funny, I don't know why we didn't learn this in school. Many of the same things that we're doing now is a result of what they learned during that pandemic. The quarantine at home thing started then. Wearing a mask in public started then. So what we're calling social distancing, trying to stay 6 feet apart, started then. And in many areas, it became like martial law. I mean, much more strict than what we're going through now. But still, a third of the world's population died. Well, this, by comparison, this current COVID-19, it is a, you know, it's a 95-pound weakling compared to that. And I also think, compared to what's coming in the book of Revelations, the pestilences that are coming on the world, I think they're going to be much more severe than this one. So we're learning things and preparing. But I want you to know, you have a covenant of healing with your God. Thank God we are in the world. We are not of the world. With His stripes, we were healed and we are healed. I just want to encourage you today. Listen, God has not forsaken you. He has not abandoned you. He is your Father. He is your healer. He is your provider. Sue and I, we always are very careful to use the, we like to do it together. We're not always where we can, but I'd say 95% of the time, of the days, we make our confessions together, our confessions of healing, our confessions of Him being our provider, and other things that He's spoken over us during these years. Oh, and by the way, I was going to tell you at the beginning, we have a little cool snap here, even though it's into April now, enough to where I could have a little fire going this morning. Now, this is our living room here at the house, and I just thought you might enjoy seeing, how did President Trump put that? He says, enjoy your living rooms. Well, we're doing that, and we thank God. We're well and happy, and the Lord's been taking good care of us, and of course, we're also doing our best to abide by the instructions. We're not making unnecessary trips anywhere, you know. But now if the Lord sends us somewhere, that's a whole different thing. But just, you know, the very first lesson I did in these series was called, you know, no foolish tests. Don't put your Lord. Jesus said, don't put the Lord thy God to a foolish test. I mean, you know, that, and the King James, it says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That's what it means, though. Don't put Him to a foolish test. It was the devil telling him, you'll be fine. The angels will take care of you. Just get up on the roof and just, of the temple, he's talking. Well, you jump off of that thing, in the natural, you're dead. The angels, they'll protect you. But we don't have to put the Lord to a foolish test trying to prove our faith. And that's exactly what the devil was trying to get Jesus to do. And he says, you don't put the Lord your God to a foolish test. Now, right on the other hand, let's take the other end of it. When the leper approached Jesus, it wasn't even lawful for him to do that. I mean, leprosy in that day was much different than what they call Hansen's disease today. And we have remedies and things, but in that day it was just the most horrible thing on the planet. And the leper really was not even supposed to come out into public, and if he did, they were supposed to shout, unclean, unclean, so that the people could get far off. And I just know that when that leper started approaching Jesus, the disciples started backing way off. Unclean, here he comes, you know. Well, you know that story. The leper, he knew that Jesus could heal him, see? And that's the way I was raised, the denomination I was raised in. They knew Jesus could heal. They just didn't know. They said it a different way. They knew God could heal. God can do anything. They just didn't know if it was always His will to do it. I like to say it, they didn't know if He wanted to. Well, that's the way the leper was. And he says, Jesus, I know you can. I just don't know if you will. Don't know if you want to. Boy, Jesus, he left no doubt for him and for us. I will. And it says immediately he put his hand, I like to say, right in the goo. I don't know how bad this guy was, but, you know, it gets really bad. See, and what I'm saying there, if the Lord sends you on a mission, and I'm saying the Lord, not your mind, but if the Lord sends you, you know, if he says, you go lay your hand on that person, you go do this, listen, there is no reason to fear. If the Lord sends you somewhere, he is responsible for taking care of you. You'll be fine. You have a covenant of healing. Amen? All right. Now, on today's lesson, I want to mention this. The other day, I was just thinking about how rapidly the world has changed because of this coronavirus. Okay, this is April, first week in April. Let's rewind. Let's back up to right before Christmas, right around Christmas time. I remember Christmas. I had never heard of Corona at that point. We all got together at one of our daughter's houses. In fact, we had more than one celebration here and with family. We had like all, there was about 20 of us at Angie's house. We had a big celebration Christmas meal there. We had another one at Aaron's house, our oldest daughter's house. And Amanda now lives in Montana, so we can't, you know, we did video there, you know. But we weren't thinking about social distancing. There was, you know, I mean, at that time, the restaurants were all open, the theaters were all open, and everything was just going great. The economy was doing good. Now take that and go January, February, and March. And here, and it's already was in March, was getting really, really bad. If anybody sitting around those meals, you know, sitting around the table during Christmas time, and there's about 20 of us there in the house, if somebody would have started saying, yeah, I believe that by spring, first 21st of March, I believe by spring, there shall be a pandemic and all of the restaurants will be closed and all of the movie theaters will be closed and everybody will be quarantined to their house except for essential travel. And there'll be no bread in the stores and there'll be no toilet paper in the stores and there'll be no hand sanitizer in the stores. We would have looked at them like, are you crazy? Are you nuts? What's wrong with you? You know, we'd have thought that was just nuts, but it wasn't. And the point I'm trying to make is what I was thinking about when I was going, look how fast the whole world changed. See, and I'm just talking about that was just America. But I mean, you read in the paper, it's the same way around the world. I mean, Italy and Spain and France and my friends in Australia and New Zealand and Germany and everywhere. And look how the world changed. I heard one preacher say it this way. He says, well, you might as well stay home and worship God. One thing you got to say about this virus, it took away all your other gods. And I was going, what? He said, well, yeah, you know, if you worship at the sports stadium, at the movie theaters, at the bar, at all of these different things, you know, golf, he mentioned golf. I think, and we know they're not literal gods, but what he's saying is the things that you love and give your attention to, you can't be doing that. You might as well give your love and attention to the God right now. And of course, I am just amazed that the Lord gave us what we're calling the blueprint for 2020. Him knowing that this was coming. My goodness, did he not give us perfect instructions how to best use this extra time we all have? This is not the time to be binge watching on Netflix. This is not the time to be doing all of these other things to fill your time. Fill your time with God. He prepared us for such a time as this. I'm going back to a lesson from a week or two ago. Such a time as this. He has prepared us. He's given us precise instructions what to do. So let me mention this now. So I was thinking about how fast the whole world changed. And I said, my goodness, in just a matter of really weeks, the whole world changed. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, well, now you have a better understanding of how quickly the real outpouring of revival will change the world also. I went, until that moment, I had not had that thought. I thought, you know, that's true. And we're not talking about a powerless gospel revival. We're talking about the kind that Jesus preached. This month in my letter, I'm talking about how Jesus commanded them. That word just jumped out at me in the book of Acts where he's telling them, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive this power from on high, this power. You shall receive power after you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he told them, don't leave. Don't start. And the word he used, it says he commanded them. And I looked it up to make sure that it means that. And it does. He didn't suggest. He didn't say, this would be a good idea. He says, I am commanding you. Do not start preaching the gospel without having this power. And the more I thought about that, you know, he understood the power of God. He understood the danger of preaching a powerless gospel. When you think of the things he actually said, he said, either believe me for the word's sake, in other words, what I'm telling you, or believe me because of the works you've seen, the works of the Father that I've demonstrated in front of you. Believe me for the very work's sake. See, Jesus didn't just come and tell. Jesus demonstrated the power of God. And that's where the church, and to some degree us as well, that's where we have fallen so short. But I'm talking about the church at large. We have preached a gospel that is not the same gospel that Jesus preached. Jesus preached a gospel that was illustrated, demonstrated in front of the people by the power. He did not just tell them. He showed them. And that is exactly what he told us to do in John 14. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father. Well, so we think, well, I know I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I know I've received the Holy Spirit. I have a prayer language and I can pray. I hear from the Holy Spirit. He bears witness with my spirit that I am a son of God, a child of God. And that's all true. But all of us, if we're just be honest before God, said, God, we're lacking in the power. So we're going, oh God, what do we do? What do we do? We're here praying. And then the Lord, by his grace, because of his love for us, he looks at us in our ignorance, and he gives us a series of 10 prophecies through Pastor Bronk Flint, who, I was talking with Bronk the other day, you know, look, we were talking about some of those words, those prophecies. It came to him. He goes, you know, I know I'm not that smart. I know it's the Holy Ghost, and it is the Holy Ghost. So our question is, Lord, we know that we've been filled with the Spirit, and you know, to the degree that we can pray in tongues and that we hear from you and we have dreams and visions, we understand that. But Lord, we're so lacking in power. What do we do? We've been praying that, basically that kind of prayer, for years. And then the Lord gives us precisely what to do in those 10 prophecies that we call now the blueprint for 2020. The blueprint. And the first one came during the October conference here in Tulsa at the prayer center. That one came through Bronk also. And then the rest of them came after he returned to his home church there in Immokalee, Florida. So God precisely told us what to do. Right now, just so you know, I'm studying. I'm going again. I've been through those prophecies. I've heard them somewhere between 40 and 50 times. I have gone through them and made my own personal notes through there. I've got a friend who is outlining it very precisely for me right now. And now I've got another assignment. I'm just going through there, looking at the promises, if we will do what he said in those prophecies. You're going to really like it. I hope to have it ready by the next one of these that I do. He makes some astounding promises in there. One of them, he says, the little children that's going to be coming in. He says, complete this purging process. Let my spirit purge from you everything that is not gold. In other words, everything that's not of God that's within us. Let yield to this purging process. Let the Holy Spirit finish this process. He said, the result, oh, the joy when the little children are coming in, the ones that are crippled and maimed and born with birth defects. And when you pray, when you lay your hands on them in my name, they rise up healed, completely restored, completely normal. See, so, just weeping, just... Talk about joy. Talk about reward. Yeah. This makes me want to just stop the video and just go into prayer, fasting. There's another thing he said in there that's just so strong. He says, the thing that I've called you to do, this revival, this outpouring, no man, nobody, no man or woman can achieve without prayer and without fasting and without the depth of my word. Nobody can do it. Well, if God says, now, who I pretty sure knows everything, and if God says you can't do this without prayer, without fasting, and without the depth of my word, I'm pretty sure that we can't do it without prayer, without fasting, and without the depth of his word. So again, I keep coming back around to these prophecies, the blueprint for 2020. God knew this pandemic was coming. He knew we would have this extra time. He gave us precise instructions what to do. We need to be doing it. Well, I didn't finish talking about how rapidly the whole world can change when it comes to revival, too. I hadn't really had that thought. And so I was thinking about how quickly this pandemic has changed the world. Well, let's think how quickly a true outpouring of revival could change the world also. You know, when it comes right down to it, these idols that people worship, and there's all kinds of, if you go back to the original idols, the stone ones, not so many people, I think, worship stone idols anymore, but they did back in biblical days, you know. God said about those idols, you know, he said they're dumb. Well, not meaning just that they're stupid, but it's a rock chiseled out to look like something, you know. And he said they can't talk and they can't do. Yet you bow down and you worship them. They can't talk and they can't do. Let me tell you, our God can talk and our God can do. With a real outpouring of revival, the kind of incorporating everything that the Lord's been saying, a Joel's army, where it's not just, and again, I thank God for every general, every man or woman that has in the past held up the standard. I'm thinking of the John G. Lakes and the Smith Wigglesworth and the Amy Simple McPhersons and the Catherine Kuhlmans, and we could just go on and on. All of them that went over into the promised land of real revival and brought back grapes, something that we could really see. I thank God for Pastor Dave Roberson. I have seen more miracles through that man personally. Now, I've seen them on TV with others, but I mean, where I was in the room, I have seen tremendous miracles that God wrought through Pastor Dave. But see, Pastor Dave, one thing that I always admired and still admire about him, he never really was trying to make people followers of him. He was trying to get people to be followers of Jesus by the Holy Ghost. And I so admired that. He was never interested in building an empire. You come to one of our conferences and see the building. And yeah, I mean, they're not putting the money into the chandeliers. I like to say it that way. Dave always had a heart for people. Well, he knew what was coming. This revival that God is it's coming. But it's going to be a Joel's army revival. It's not going to be just this person on a pedestal and that person on a pedestal. No, God's promise was, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. And in Mark 16, he said, those that believe will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. They'll cast out devils. Well, those that believe is us. That's everybody. And that is the revival. Now think about that. You think about the first century even. when the apostles were preaching exactly the same thing, we could go right back to Matthew 28, where he sent them out. He says, I want you to go into all of these nations, and I want you to teach them everything that I taught you. And actually, he worded it stronger than that. He says, I want you to teach them to observe. In other words, I want you to not just teach them, I want you to teach them to do everything I taught you to do. Well, he taught them to lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. He taught them to cast out devils. And so if Joel's army, how would Dave say that? Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper, just your normal person, normal believer, walks that way, Christianity is going to spread around the world just like it did in the first century. Because in the first century, they were obeying what Jesus said. They weren't preaching some, Dave would say, mamby-pamby, panty-waist, watered-down, powerless gospel. They were preaching exactly the same gospel that Jesus preached, and they did it with signs and wonders accompanying. Well, that's the same gospel. And if you look at Christianity that started with that little 120 in the upper room, oh my God, 120 people in the whole world. And from that 120, the first 100 years, the first 200 years after that experience, Christianity spread throughout the known world like wildfire. I mean, within 300 years, it was complete. Even the Roman Empire, everything changed in the whole known world, and Christianity spread like wildfire. It will do that again. And that's what he was showing me. He said, if you think this pandemic, and it did change the world in a matter of weeks, you could say months, I guess, 2 or 3 months, but really that's just weeks. He said, if that pandemic can do that, he said, don't you know that real revival can spread even faster? When we get Joel's army really out there, really equipped, really doing what Jesus said we're supposed to be doing, it doesn't matter if you're in Vietnam or Laos or Myanmar or Mongolia or just pick your place, deepest, darkest Canada. We love all of our Canadian friends. When you can come in the name of Jesus, you heal somebody's daughter that's on her deathbed, you raise up somebody's mother who's got an incurable disease, you open the eyes of the blind, you cause the lame to walk. And I especially like the maimed being made whole. Man, you, Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper, this is the promise. These are the things that I'm going to be digging out and presenting in a week or two. The promises that if we will submit to this purging process and allow the Holy Spirit to finish it up in us, these are the promises. You will be the one. Dave used to say all the time, he says, you're going to be a happy camper. And he said, don't let the devil run you off. No matter what beatings come, no matter what happens, don't let the devil run you off. You're going to be a happy camper if you stay. He says, when it's your turn and they bring that little blind child, and it's you that lays your hand on that child in the name of Jesus. And you watch as those white eyes, their little pupils begin to swirl, and suddenly both eyes are recreated. And that little child can see for the first time. And it was you that prayed. You're going to be a happy camper. Well, I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. You know, Jesus is the same. Our Bible says Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He is the same. What we see him doing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he still wants to do today through us. We are his body on earth. It's just John G. Lake, he understood that so well. He said, in the same way that Jesus submitted his body to the Father so the Father could work through him, we are to present our body to Jesus so that Jesus can do his work, continue to do his work, which is really the work of the Father, through us. Jesus said, I in them, and in Father, thou in me. We are the body of Christ. The more authority. For years and years, I just couldn't understand why. I mean, how God could birth me again, literally make me his child in my spirit, and leave me in this body that, I mean, it's so, my body is not saved. I have to control this thing all the time, and I'm 73. It's, you know, really tougher when you're 30s and 20s. But anyway, God, why didn't you just give us our new glorified bodies? And for the longest time, I couldn't understand that. But I'm understanding it so much better now. To have authority on this earth, you have to have a body from this earth. Once you leave this earth, you no longer have authority here. Just take it real practical. Sam Walton, who founded Walmart and built such an empire, he was a genius at what he did. He understood marketing better than any man alive, probably at the time. And whatever he said, that was pretty much what happened. You know, he had authority until the day that he left this earth and went on to heaven. And he wasn't at those board meetings anymore. He had no more authority at Walmart. New people rose up that had physical bodies, and they had the authority. Okay? Now, Jesus has all, he said, I have all authority in heaven and earth. All power, all authority has been given unto me both in heaven and earth. Well, we don't have any problem with him having authority in heaven. But what about on earth? He does have all authority here because he has a body from here. Hello, body. And it comes right down to you as part of that body. So it's coming to me just so much stronger. No wonder Paul and they wrote his wonderful letter to the Romans. No wonder. And by the time he gets to Romans 12, he talks about, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And that's based on everything he said in chapter 1, 2, 3, all the way up through 11. I beg of you, because of the mercy of God, everything that he's done for us, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. Oh, the more I'm understanding that now, that's why he had to leave us in these bodies. He had to. You know, Jesus said nobody would put new wine into an old bottle, because that new wine will cause the old bottle to burst. But did you know that's exactly what Jesus had to do, what the Father had to do? He put this new spirit, this new creation that we are, but he had to pour it into this old vessel. But why? So that we would, as a body, have authority. Christ in us would have authority on this earth. Now I'm going to go ahead and give you a preview of another lesson that's germinating on the inside of me. And I've talked about it some. And the Lord gave me a prophecy on it many years ago. It's almost like one of the, it's not in the face-to-face, but it was in that same season. He said to me, there is no less authority when you release the prayer of tongues through your lips than when you release a prayer from your understanding through your lips. It is the same authority when you speak it. Now, I was very young in these things in those days, and it didn't mean so much to me then. But recently, I saw a real good example of that in the Word. Do you remember when Peter was put in prison? And right before that, James, the brother of John, had already been executed. And it doesn't say a word about prayer being made for James. I think it startled the church. They went, whoa, this could really happen. So now they put Peter in prison, and they're going to execute him. Well, it says prayer was being made for Peter. Well, thank God. And without going through that whole story, you know what happened? An angel came and thumped him on the side. Wake up, we're getting out of here. The gate opened on its own. They go outside. And finally it dawns on Peter, I'm really out. This is not a dream. And he went to the house where they were making prayer for him, knocked on the door. A young girl came to the door, and he's going, hey, let me in, I'm Peter. She got so excited, she went in and told the people. Now, here's the point. She went in and told them. They said, nah, it can't be him. No, we don't believe you. She went back and, yeah, it's really me. She went, it's really him. No, it's got to be his angel. Prayer normally, when we're praying with our understanding, prayer normally is answered when there's faith. Isn't that right? Thy faith hath made thee whole. Be of good cheer. You know, Jesus was always talking about faith. And remember the guy who came and brought his son? He didn't have the faith. He had enough faith to bring the son. But Jesus plainly told him, he said, listen, if you could believe, all things are possible to him that believes. In other words, if you believed, you could pray and you could get him healed yourself. You have a covenant of healing. But anyway, what I'm saying is prayer normally is based on faith. You know, Jesus had to do it for the guy because the guy said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. In other words, I believed enough to bring him here. But help me. So Jesus did. And Jesus, see, normally prayer is answered based on faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. Well, it's obvious they didn't really think that Peter was going to get out. No, it can't be him. We don't believe it. No. Well, what are you praying? Oh, we're praying for Peter. But you don't believe he's going to get out? No, we don't believe that. And it took the longest time. Why? How in the world? And I can't prove it. And, you know, if you argue with me, I'm not going to argue back with you. It's okay. But how in the world did that prayer get answered when it's obvious they weren't in faith for it? In other words, from their understanding, they weren't. They didn't believe it. I believe with all my heart. They were in there praying in other tongues, making intercession with groanings that can't be uttered. They didn't know what to pray as they ought anymore. They had already seen James get killed. And, you know, you can pray in English, like, oh, God, you know, like, you know, you run out of English word, okay, English, Spanish, whatever it is, whatever your native language is. You can pray in your understanding, and you'll run out of that pretty quick. You know, it won't take very long. But if you're going to continue in intercession, well, that's where you employ the praying in other tongues. And the Holy Spirit, He is creating the very syllables. He's the one with the understanding. It's when we know not what to pray for as we ought, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered. Why can't they be uttered? Because we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Holy Spirit does know what to pray as it ought. So they're in there praying in other tongues. Their understanding is unfruitful. They don't know what they're praying. But the authority, when Dave would say it this way, he would say, when you yield to let the Holy Spirit make intercession through you, you are literally lending your authority to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And now I'm understanding that so much better than I did when I heard Dave first say it. It has everything to do with us living in these bodies that are from the earth. These lips of clay is what gives the authority. When you let the Holy Spirit pray using your lips, He's praying the mind of Christ. He's not originating anything on His own. Jesus is Lord over the church. He is literally praying the mind of Christ through your lips. And without them, they're sitting there. They don't really think it's going to work. Maybe they don't think Peter's going to show up at the door in their understanding. But yet they have enough faith to believe that the Holy Spirit will make intercession. So they're yielding themselves over and letting the Holy Spirit pray. And did you know it worked? The authority that they allowed to be released by praying in other tongues. See, we've heard of this. I've heard the giants in the faith before us, John G. Lake and Kenneth Hagin and Oral Roberts and many of them. I'm a pretty good student. I've read after many of them. And the women, too, many of them. Maria Woodworth Eder was one I remember especially. And all of them would talk about, there were times when a spirit of prayer, I mean, it was like, I just need to go pray. And they might go off and in somewhere, maybe by themselves, maybe with another friend or a family member, and maybe for 30 minutes, maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours, and just praying in other tongues, just making intercession. And then suddenly, they called it a note of victory. Somehow, okay, that's done. Oh, okay. And they, in their understanding, they wouldn't know most of the time. They would say, "I don't know what I was praying for." But there was a few times where they got arranged it where they found out. And I don't have the dates. It's been too long since I read it. But I remember one of them had to do with John G. Lake. And he found out through, God arranged it where he found out at the very time of prayer, somebody got delivered. During that 2-hour period, I forget now, I don't remember whether it was persecution for righteousness' sake or a storm or what it was. But God arranged it where he said, oh, okay, that's what it was about. Now, we don't always know. God doesn't have to tell us. He can if he wants to. He can arrange it where we find out. But you need to know that not only is the Holy Spirit communicating mysteries, not only is he purging us from things that are ungodly still within us. I mean, I'm not talking, listen, the deal breakers, hope to God you're still not just at the deal breaker level trying to get out of living in fornication. Well, if you are, get out. Get out of those things. You're not going, at this point, we're not even talking about that kind of thing anymore. Now, we're talking about things like still there might be an agenda in you. There might be personal ambition in you. There might be, there's a song right now. I can't remember the name of it, but one of the lines in there just says, Lord, I'm sorry. Every time I came with my own agenda. Well, Gary, too, I heard that with Lou. Lord, I am sorry. I am sorry. See, I only want one agenda. I want his agenda. I want to come to the place someday where I can say without hypocrisy, Paul was able to say it about himself. He said, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, that first part, for to me, in other words, Paul saying, I know I've come to the place where I don't have any agenda of my own. For me to keep living is for Christ to keep living through this body. He's living his life through this vessel. Paul came to that point. Boy, I'd like to come to that point, but I fear still too often there's too much of Gary. Well, those are the very things that the Holy Spirit needs to purge from our lives. I just saw a really good movie that was produced by CBN, the Christian Broadcasting Network. And, of course, Sue and I have been partners with them for decades. And this movie is called I Am Patrick. And it talks about the real St. Patrick, not the legend, the story, the fairy tale that we hear about St. Patrick driving the snakes out of Ireland. No. He was a real Christian that lived in the 400s. And actually, he was caught as a slave and captured and was a slave in Ireland for several years, 6 years, I think. Anyway, God supernaturally delivered the man and he was able to escape. So he's back home. He's back home in England, still seeking after God. And God sends him back to the very same people that had made a slave out of him. He says, I want you to spend the rest of your life evangelizing this people. And I want you to know, almost single-handedly, St. Patrick turned a nation of idol worshipers into a nation that worshiped Jesus Christ. Just amazing. And he says, Lord, his life just became completely surrendered to God. I want that. Whatever it is, Lord, that you call me to do, whatever it is that you... I only want your agenda. I don't want any agenda of my own. Listen, I'm going to go ahead and bring this this teaching to an end for today. I've got so much more to come. We might be making these even more frequent than we have been. I'm going to encourage you again. We have... Most of us have more time available right now than we've ever had in our lives. God prepared us ahead of time with these prophecies, this blueprint for 2020. And of course we can do other things. You know, Sue and I, this is our 45th year being married. I'm so appreciative of my wife. I know you love your wife, but see, I have the best wife. We have fun. We enjoy each other, but we're endeavoring to press into God. We want this purging process to be complete. We want to come to the place where, for to us to live is Christ. And get a fresh vision today. What the enemy has intended for evil with this pandemic, let it at least show you how fast this world can change. And I mean the whole world. If a pandemic can change the world that fast, just think how fast a true outpouring of revival, where every believer is empowered with supernatural ability by the Holy Spirit. Think how fast this world can change for Jesus Christ. And that's what we've been talking about. A great harvest, the greatest harvest in the history of the world, is right in front of us, right before the return of our Lord. Be encouraged today. Dive into God like you never have before. We love you, and let me promise you, the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you next time.